Crypto is a world of its own. Well, I'm talking about cryptocurrencies and crypto in general, cryptography. It's a world of its own. And it does create privacy challenges, and also AI can be used. So how about talking about AI and privacy in the crypto world with a person who has been in the army, who has been in the risk assessments, who has been in the data protection, and who is also in the crypto and business development and so on. Rather, I would let him explain what does he do and introduce himself. And I'm talking about none other than Gökhan Polat, whom I met at ISACA Dublin event, and we became good friends. And he's here to share his knowledge and wisdom.
Welcome to the Fit for Privacy podcast with Punit Bhatia. This is the podcast for those who care about their privacy. Here, your host, Punit Bhatia, has conversations with industry leaders about their perspectives, ideas, and opinions relating to privacy, data protection, and related matters. Be aware that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not legal advice. Let us get started.
So here we are with Gökhan. Gökhan, welcome to the Fit for Privacy podcast.
Thank you, Punit. It's very nice to see you again.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to see you. And as you're an expert in many fields, let me ask you a question in the crypto world. What is happening in this crypto world? Because I see AI is happening, robotics is happening, privacy is happening, digital disruption is happening, but also the crypto world is a lot happening. What's happening in this crypto world?
Crypto world is interesting area because I define myself not a crypto expert or blockchain expert because it is a totally different area, but I define myself a tech risk expert. So for technology risk expert, we cannot stop learning. And I read a survey about, for example, health workers, for doctors, for example, it says for a doctor, he can go on to earn money, make money without improving his skills for 3 years. But for the tech experts, it is just for 48 days. Maybe these numbers is decreasing because we see every day different kind of technological improvement. And yes, we are affected. Business life is affected by technology very dramatically. And AI, blockchain, IoT, different kind of zero trust, different kind of approaches, different kind of methodologies are again reinvented. And yes, in crypto sector, we see dramatic changes because now the government and institutions pay too much attention about this topic and they try to make legitimize it. They see there is a huge money going somewhere, coming somewhere, and some organization also using this transaction to save themselves from restrictions of international community. Like organizations, terrorist organizations are banned, but these organizations go on to earn money, make money, or money transactions using this kind of technology. So nowadays we see governmental institutions pay too much attention about this topic. USA, for example, every day we hear about new legislation. Last year in 2023, for example, European Union, a new legislation, MiCA, they aim to control crypto sector, blockchain sector, because now the clients, there are, yes, this sector, this blockchain, this technology has huge potential, but some scam guys, some vicious-minded person also used to manipulate innocent people's, assets. So, or they can use this technology to manipulate other kind of actions. So this is very important. And again, AI is becoming very strongly, and we see European Union immediately increasing its efforts to legitimize this AI area because now we see AI affects everybody. Let me give you an example. I like to write about new things, and I use writing for learning a new area, gaining new skills. I do not write just about the things I know well. I sometimes also prefer to write or prepare an article blog about the things I do not know. And in this process, I learn a lot. But nowadays, I become very lazy because of AI. Now I have Copilot, I have Google Bards, ChatGPT, or other kind of AI applications, and it affects my creativeness. It is also has effective in other technologies like blockchain technology. AI affects blockchain technology, blockchain affects AI technology, or they totally affect communities' behaviors. Now business processes changing, and business people try to understand what is going on because it is very fast, very fast. I try to be very close to, for example, blockchain community in Istanbul. I see lots of new faces I haven't known before, and they are very smart. They know very deeply about these topics. I cannot imagine. Sometimes I ask them, how long have you been in this sector? They say, young people say, 8 years. It is very interesting. These people born in technology world, and they are very easy to get used to this stuff. But the guys like me should spend extra time. And it is, again, true for our classical business understanding, because maybe business world cannot follow this technology, or legislative organization cannot follow this technology properly, and this may cause some chaos, and governmental organizations again see this problem and try to stop, or a little bit, how can I explain, slow down. But it is very hard because there is a community who needs, and they are very eager to increase the capacity of these technologies. They use AI to increase blockchain technology effectiveness, or they create new kind of tokenizations. Now we see some agriculture items becoming tokenized. Now villagers who has no understanding about maybe accounting, maybe technology, now their items, they things they produce become tokenization, become the topic of blockchain technology. It's very interesting.
So let me slice it into multiple parts, what you said. One, you're saying the technology is changing very, very, very fast. Second, you're saying a lot of legislation is coming. Third, you're saying that the young people are adopting it much faster and much quicker.
And they have expectation. I mean, the legislation, governmental organization, companies, they should support these new ideas.
Yeah, and the fourth, you're saying there are a lot of use cases of it. But while you say the young people are picking it up fast, I think you and me are also very young. And I'm very curious to ask you, how did you end up in this? I mean, what has been your journey or story that you have acquired so much of knowledge and so many varying topics?
As I mentioned in the beginning, I am myself as a technology expert, but for example, now I work for Everest, a company, digital. It is providing technology consultancy and training, in especially in emerging technology area. And I started a position here as a strategy and business development lead. You know, it's very interesting because I generally worked as, for example, enterprise risk management director, cybersecurity consultant, risk services senior manager. I generally to have this kind of positions, but in this company I started with this strategy and business development, and this company, my first thing is guiding my company into emerging technology area, because of my understanding with attending this kind of community, technology communities events, there is a big change. We will see very dramatic change in business life. So by myself, I try to first understand the technology from risk mindset, because I'm a risk expert, and risk, doesn't mean that it is just about the threats. It has also, how can I explain, opportunities. And I see some opportunities. To catch these opportunities, I should first understand how can create new business cases from this area. So nowadays, I am dealing with creating new training sessions with experts, data analytics, data science experts, AI experts, data protection experts, and blockchain experts. I go attend a meeting, I meet with someone, I invite to my office, we make talk with them, understand their vision, and I try to figure out how can I put this vision in my, you know, target, objectives, or vision. So I am creating a community of technology experts all over the world. For example, as you remember, I also asked you about data protection, because we are, as my company, also a partner of ISACA, training partner of, official training partner of ISACA, PeopleCert, ISSQR. We are on the way of Cloud Security Alliance and I guess IAPP. So these organizations have very strong products, but to provide, to meet with these products with the clients who need them is not easy, because sometimes clients cannot find the right address, right, Punit? Because there are lots of companies, they are doing good marketing stuff, but they do not provide what clients need. My now aim is to understand this technology transformation change and how it affects our understanding. Then try to understand my clients' expectations in different markets, because we are operate in London, in Amsterdam, in Istanbul, Turkey, a new office in Daho, Riyadh, Barcelona. Each place has common problems, concerns, pain points, but there are other kind of pain points too, because demographic effects, economic effects, political effects, not just technology. So
yep.
I am trying to increase, by the way, my touch points. Like now I am speaking with you, with Punet, who is data protection experts, who interests with emerging technologies, who is leadership in the ISACA Brussels, and he is attending some organizations. So the connection with Punit and the people like Punit also increase my understanding. With this understanding, I am creating my own contents. This is nowadays my first and challenging topic.
No, that's very true. It is other people's knowledge which allows us to acquire more knowledge, and also bringing knowledge to other people, sometimes teaching, guiding, coaching, consulting, that allows us to solidify our own knowledge. And before we get too philosophical about how do we acquire knowledge, let's go back to the main topic. We were talking about crypto, and we were saying it's emerging technology, but the other emerging technology is AI. Does crypto use AI in any way?
Yes. Okay, let me explain. Widely using. Okay, once I have an experience as enterprise risk management director at a crypto exchange company, a well-known company in Turkey. And this company, I had an experience because I stayed for a while. And I was the responsibility about, you know, cyber governance, internal audit, risk management, internal control, and fraud prevention, and KYC AML compliance. All these functions were under my control. So from my side, I can explain. Crypto sector is very fast. They earn, they make money very fast, but they should be trustable. If client doesn't believe you, your processes, your approaches, then it changes the vendor or crypto exchange very fast, because it is just an application, you know, downloading, and you create your profile, you carry your assets very fast, very quickly, and you go on. And it is a problem, because these communities, client communities, have strong communications through Telegram, Discord, Twitter. If you had a problem about trust, it is easy to disseminate all over the, you know, your community. So we also use AI in all processes. I am sure all crypto exchanges use AI very efficiently, because for KYC AML process, for example, I need to onboard new clients to increase my profit, but I cannot onboard every client because legislation, organization, enforcement to force check if the guy is true guy, if this guy has any malicious activities in his history. So first, generally, conversation, interview, and try to understand if this guy is through this guy. But this has some problems because it takes much time. I should train my colleague, my personal in this process. I should trust him because it is sometimes can create new kind of problems, personal problems. And they should also record all personal data of that new client. So nowadays, KYC AML use efficient AI technologies. Now, we are minimizing human touch in this process. AI first see the client, check the evidences he or she provided, match them. If AI believes that this guy is true guy, then we can onboard him. And it never stops. Then we also check transactions. There are millions of transactions happening all day. So manually you cannot follow them, and you cannot understand which transaction is true, which transaction is created by true and honest people. And this time AML tools also using AI checks this transaction. And if they see a fraudulent activity, it provides alerts and we directly inform governmental organizations. Otherwise, governmental organizations or this kind of problem, if I cannot inform governmental organizations in time, it may cause problems. And others, I collect last, as you see, I am collecting lots of private, personal data in this process, KYC AML process. And this caused another problem. This caused data minimization problem, because I should collect lots of personal data. So how I can categorize them? How can I record them? How can I sometimes should maybe sustain its integrity? And I cannot do it by my human capabilities. Now again, we are using AI technology in this data retention, data recording, data usage processes. And we again use AI in, for example, data analytics, because I collected lots of data about data protection problems, but I also another problem, because my competitors going fast, so I should catch them. How I have lots of client data. If I use data analytic tools which is supported by AI, I can see easily the changing trends, expectations on my clients. If my client is happy with my products, services, I can see only with using AI tools. But AI can do else. AI also helped me do about cybersecurity. There are tools about threat intelligence. If cyber attackers aim my company or not, these AI technologies, algorithms, check dark web and see if there is attack coming or not. What else? It helps me to predict about crypto, changing crypto. Crypto portfolio, which coin, which cryptocurrency will increase in some determined time period. It also can help us to guess about it with the help of AI technologies. And it is in the use cases of AI in blockchain technology is increasing.
But what you're saying will also lead to privacy challenges, because you're saying use this crypto with AI on KYC, then you analyze what data has been provided, artifacts are provided, ID card is provided, and information is matched. Now, does it not raise some privacy concern, and how are those concerns being managed? Because it's getting a little bit tricky if you really look at it from a privacy lens perspective.
Privacy, yes, you are very true. This is a challenging, because for KYC and AML, we should collect last of personal data. We should make interview with client. We should ask for their evidences. We record these evidences. Sometimes we also should use third parties to make, you know, phone calls. Mm-hmm. And phone calls are recorded. Imagine you have a client, a third party is making a phone call with this client. They ask some personal information, and this they record this information. So they this kind of data should be analyzed in a periodically, and should be put in retention period. So you will not able to make it manually. This is another case for AI side. Yes, AI also, if you do not, for example, the rules, algorithms of AI also can also cause some discrimination problems. In Turkey, yeah. For example, we have lots of people coming out of Turkey. Their names are different. Their ethnical or religious traits are different. If we cannot, for example, create strong rules for KYC, AI supported KYC tools, then maybe this KYC will reject our proper client, because of he will not understand about ethnicity, the naming, you know, maybe they have different kind of names, different kind of facial site. So this may also cause another data protection problem. What else? I am collecting lots of data. I also find for data classification. I also, as you know, some application use data with some technology use data, and sometimes business owners do not understand how this technology collects and records this data. So without AI again, AI technology, again, we will not able to find where is my data. And solve this kind of problems, first, we should understand what kind of use cases we are in. There are lots of different solutions. So people or business owners first create a strong business case. What is their problem? What can they use, what kind of technology they should use. In my previous experiences, before I buy or implement a technology, I made two assessments. First assessment about business case, which kind of business problem I have, and if this technology satisfies this expectations, my business expectations, and if this tool passed this, then second test is coming. It is about totally technological and data protection area. How this technology collects the data, where it keeps the data, if it will cause a problem with my other technologies. Our technology experts also analyze it. So to solve this kind of problems, I guess people should know the reality of their problems and the reality of the technology they plan to implement. And second, they should also have a strong audit functions, because after a time, the usage of technology is maybe changed. The functions may change, and they should be certain if they use this technology in a proper way, in compliance with the legislation, in compliance with their like risk management, cybersecurity policy, because business needs, sometimes we do not pay attention about data protection stuff, or we can forget. So audit can remind us the importance of this.
Yeah, I think apart from audit, maybe it'll also be interesting to contact the privacy officer or DPO, and they can help with the legitimate basis for such processing, because you need to be knowing why you are processing this data and what's the reason, legitimate reason, legal reason for processing. But get into the DPO role, I think last time when we met, you were also talking about the CSA framework, the blockchain CSA framework. And I think that can also assist in protecting privacy. Do you want to touch upon that? Because you've been part of that, and it'll be very interesting for people. What is this CSA blockchain, and how does it help protect privacy as a framework?
You never forget anything. I like your internet. It's great. Yes, Cloud Security Alliance, as you see in the name, Cloud. It is related about Cloud. Cloud Security Alliance aims to increase awareness of usage in cloud in a secure way. So it's creating lots of services, certification standards. And lastly, Cloud Security Alliance also see other kind of technologies affect usage of cloud. And it declared AI, blockchain, and other technology, quantum computing is are in our target. So it started to create with groups, working groups, it started to make analysis of these technologies and created some documentation for its followers, for participants, or for the public. And I also attended the working group of blockchain governance almost 1 year before. And in this group, when I attended, they created lots of documentation about blockchain, like blockchain top 10 risk, blockchain common cybersecurity problems, and how you can solve it, these kind of documentations. And when I first attended them, they were creating two new documentation. One of them is DLT and blockchain technology privacy framework, and other one is cybersecurity framework. With these frameworks, it is in the beta test period now. I guess later we will able to see these products. With these products, we are aiming to help organization who wants to use blockchain technology and have some doubts about security and privacy. What should they do? What kind of audit checks, controls they should apply? They will able to see a generic documentation to analyze their blockchain technology usage from the governance side to technology architectural side. And for example, nowadays I am dealing with increasing the controls, what kind of controls we should apply, and for specific risk, blockchain risk, or I am checking dimension to control section of this documentation.
No problem. So essentially, it's kind of a control framework which gives you controls for privacy, cybersecurity, risk
assessment, and control. Yes. Yes.
Okay, that's interesting. I think we will aim to put the link or more details in the show notes. Now, in this world, which on one hand is scary if you extrapolate what quantum and AI can do and blockchain will do, but on other hand, it's also a lot of opportunities for business to leverage these technologies and maybe be more competitive. What do you see happening in the future of next, say, 3 to 5 years?
I guess, Puneet, if I tell you something about 3 or 5 years, it will be not, logical because
okay, so how many years you want to tell?
I don't know, 1 year, maybe 1 year, because
okay, 1 year.
It, 1 year. I mean, I guess
end of 2025, let's say.
Yes, 2025. For example, we will see, I guess, different kind of we are now in the generative AI period, and we can create lots of, for example, text, and it also created some images. Maybe we will see fake images, fake videos more oftenly for the AI side. And for blockchain side, this also can be used. For example, we talk about KYC, AML, onboarding. Now, also the malicious people maybe will activate these skills to make malicious activities. And we will see this kind of problems. Second, for the metaverse side, again, I am not an expert of metaverse or blockchain because it is another topic. And I guess this vision, this alternative way of life will be more widespread. I mean, because of the technology, because of the AI, we can now create lots of digital twins with the help very easily without paying too much effort. In blockchain side, I guess in crypto side, we will see the increase in legislation. It is very obvious. In Turkey, for example, we are waiting for a new legislation, and it will declared because the crypto sector is very popular in Turkey and the government want to control it. And second, we will see AI usage in crypto area in different way, like metaverse, like because thanks to AI technology, we can create digital twins with small efforts when we compare it in previous times. And we will see also different kind of cyber attacks, malicious activities. Just in January, we saw almost, I guess, 17 successful cyber attacks to crypto ecosystem. And these were not brute force attacks. These were smart, you know, phishing attacks. They use Telegram, they use Twitter, and they use fake profiles created by maybe this kind of technologies. And maybe we will go on to see new creative attack types. And again, now we are seeing big financial institutions are stepping into crypto sector very strongly. It's not just my understanding. I guess the usage of crypto will be widespread and will be increased, and we will see different kind of usage in blockchain in crypto sector.
Okay, so essentially what we are going to see is more and more usage of AI crypto world, and both on the positive side, a lot of use cases, and also by the negative side, yes, of things. But that's always the case. So with that, I would say if someone really wants to talk to you and want to contact you based on this conversation, what would be the best way for them to talk to you?
It is easy to, they can connect with me in LinkedIn because I am using LinkedIn very often, I guess very effective. And I have also email. I can share my email now or whenever they want, whenever you want. They can write me and maybe I will come to Brussels and visit you, and we can meet over there too. But LinkedIn is a very popular and very effective way of communication nowadays.
Okay,
they can write me.
LinkedIn is the preferred option. And with that, I have to say, in essence of time, thank you so much. It was wonderful to have you, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Puneet. It is very important for me to attend this kind of initiatives, and I congratulate you because increasing awareness in data protection, especially in the emerging technologies, is very crucial. Thank you, Puneet.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. If you liked the show, feel free to share it with a friend and write a review. If you have already done so, thank you so much. And if you did not like the show, don't bother and forget about it. Take care and stay safe. Fit for Privacy helps you to create a culture of privacy and manage risks by creating, defining, and implementing a privacy strategy that includes delivering scenario-based training for your staff. We also help those who are looking to get certified in CIPPE, CIPM, and CIPT through on-demand courses that help you prepare and practice for certification exam. Want to know more? Visit www.fitforprivacy.com. That's www.fit4privacy.com. If you have questions or suggestions, drop an email at hello@fitforprivacy.com. Until next time, goodbye.